Life in Russia, with interest rates moving up to 17% overnight. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and the economy. In the wee hours of the morning, Moscow time, Russia's central bank hiked a key interest rate to 17%, a dramatic effort to stop the decline of Russia's currency, the ruble. Western economic sanctions, diving crude oil prices, inflation, and now the high price of borrowing. Yet Russians so far today have been taking this calmly, reports Sarah Rainsford, a BBC correspondent in Moscow. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you.
The Russian economy now in turmoil. Tell me more about interest rates in Russia today.
Well, this was a reaction from the central bank to the fact that the ruble has been losing value. And on Monday, in fact, the ruble lost 10% of its value. So overnight, in fact, at 1 o'clock in the morning, Moscow time, we got a statement from the central bank saying that they were hiking up interest rates to 17%. The hope was that that would halt the fall of the ruble, would help tackle inflation here, which is really high. In early trading, there was a little bit of a recovery, but then the slide began again, and the ruble's now back even lower than ever.
Now, Sarah, you mentioned inflation. When a currency declines, as the ruble has, imports to Russia get much more expensive. Also, there's more competition for, I think, domestic goods. To what extent are Russians feeling this inflation?
They are feeling it. Certainly, food prices have been increasing. On the other flip side of that, it does seem that for the moment, at least, some of the worst impact has been held off because, for example, lots of stores, they still have old stock. The problem is that people are really worried about the new year. They expect that in the new year, prices will start shooting up. In fact, quite a lot of stores have just started to put their prices up already. And that's going to really affect people because, of course, their salaries are now worth half what they were before if they're paying for imported goods. That's a really big impact.
And also, if you're borrowing for, let's say, a new car in the new year and you're paying enormous interest rates, because that's what's just happened here today, it may dissuade you from consumption, and that will hurt the economy further.
Sure, I think that's the problem. I mean, the rise in the interest rates is supposed to tackle one problem, but it has the potential to cause another problem. The question is, how long can those high interest rates stay in place? Will they have an impact at all? And if they do, will they also have a reverse impact in terms of slowing the economy even further? Politicians are pointing the finger outside of the country, pointing to the oil price, but also pointing to Western sanctions. I think many people think that the solution to some of Russia's economic woes, at least, might be political, really, rather than economic at this point.
Sarah Rainsford is in Moscow for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
The United States hasn't had interest rates in the 17% range since the early 1980s. Today, the U.S. 10-year note is down below 2.1%. The sudden drop in oil prices during the second half of this year has been forcing oil companies to buy each other up in the hope that consolidation might bring efficiencies. Today, the Spanish oil company Repsol said it's buying Talisman Energy of Canada for $8.3 billion. Repsol has also been looking to grow after Venezuela took away its operation there through a nationalization 2 years ago. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. For people needing medical coverage starting January 1st using those newish federal healthcare exchanges, the deadline for signing up has just come and gone. But small businesses can sign up anytime using special exchanges set up for companies with fewer than 50 full-time workers. They're known as shop exchanges, S-H-O-P. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer went to a toy store to find out how one of these things work.
This is Mike Bray's busiest time of year. He owns four toy stores in Maryland and Virginia. He's got about 50 full and part-time workers. He huddles with one in an aisle jam-packed with remote-control cars, talking inventory.
Did I take your only QX3?
Bray is just getting over a cold. There's no time to sleep around the holidays if you own a toy store, and no time to look over health insurance plans, one of his least favorite chores.
Yeah, I hate it.
Still, Bray does provide insurance for his employees. Bray leads me to his back office and computer.
Is this the right one?
Where he's been noodling around on Maryland's shop website.
There we go. See details of shop plans for 2014 coverage.
Bray says he used to have only a couple of plans to choose from, but on the shop exchange...
You have Care First offering, Coventry, Evergreen, Kaiser, United.
But here's the thing. Bray's just browsing. He's not buying, and he's not alone.
It's been admittedly a little slow getting out of the starting gate.
That's Sabrina Corlett, a senior research fellow at Georgetown's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. She says one reason the shop exchanges aren't taking off, a tax credit small businesses get for using shop is really hard to apply for.
I have heard from some small businesses that they'd have to pay their accountant and broker more than they actually would get back in benefits.
Still, businesses might be able to get a deal on shop. That's what John Gable found. He's a senior fellow at NORC, a University of Chicago research center.
We found in general that plans on the shop cost less than those off the shop. Could be 9% lower on average.
Our toy store owner, Mike Bray, is hoping to get a deal. He'll start some serious insurance shopping after the holiday rush. In Laurel, Maryland, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
There's also news this morning that many insurance companies plan to give health exchange customers a temporary break on their bills. People who bought coverage from the exchanges were supposed to pay for their January coverage by New Year's Eve. But today, the trade group representing that industry plans to announce a grace period. It's the first year that people have renewed under the federal health care law, and there could be data glitches. Plus, it's the holidays when bills are already mounting for many people. The extensions for when the bill is due will vary by company. Contact the company involved will be the official advice. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.